First, I'd like to say thanks for this opportunity to speak tonight. Also, I'd like to say thanks to Barbara for that very kind introduction. We've known each other for a long time. When I first realized that I was going to be speaking in this series, I asked my husband to let me know how things were going, how he thought. And I said, I want to listen to all the ones before me so I'll know how the presentation is kind of done and so forth. So every Wednesday evening, he would say, well, how was that one? And I would go, they were really good. Intimidating makes me wonder how I'm going to be. But I said, the thing about it is there weren't any of them over 10 years old. That's what happens when you get to be my age. You think everyone's 10. When I first thought about this subject, I was more focused on local and daily individual mission. The book chapter actually places more emphasis on foreign mission. Even though we spent 2 years in Germany with the Army, and have been on numerous mission trips, and I've been on Project Germany, I still feel like, to speak credibly about foreign missions, one would need much more experience and expertise in that area than I have. However, after having read the stirring and motivating and well-written chapter from the book, I believe there to be several significant points to mention. First one is we need to make our world and our God larger. We should let God guide us to share His message of love with a needy world. We should be open to recognize the opportunities that He presents, to go and to teach the Word, even to the ends of the earth. And as the Great Commission tells us in Matthew 27:19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very ends of the age. How encouraging is that? We know that no matter where we feel God sends us, He is with us, He goes with us, He walks with us, He helps us, and we depend on Him. But our world and our God sometimes are too small, barely enough room for the two of us, especially when I try to make myself God and tell Him through my deeds or through my life or even through prayer, I tell Him what I think He needs to tell me to do. And I don't always listen for Him to point me in His direction. I may say, oh, God, I really think I see this opportunity over here. Let me pray about that, and then you send me there, okay? And I think sometimes we kind of close our minds to what else He may be saying to us. As Swindoll says, when we can see a vision of a lost world without Christ, and I might even suggest a vision of a lost Edmund without Christ, then the revelation becomes crushing and empowering. Becomes crushing because we see that we can be a missionary right here, right now, and we don't need to wait, and we need to be that person we can be that exemplifies God and spreads His word right now where we are. But it's empowering for the very same reason. We can be that person right here, right now, where we are. And so that lets us know that we have to depend on God, and He will grant us the ability to meet these challenges, whether foreign or whether local. Interestingly, the book chapter talks a lot about Isaiah. Isaiah says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And then Isaiah goes on to say, and I think we can all identify with this, I am ruined because I am a man of unclean lips. Don't we all feel unprepared and unfit for God's tasks, unfit to do what He needs us to do, that we aren't good enough, we aren't smart enough, we aren't in the right place, We always can find excuses, just as many of the characters of the Old Testament would find excuses. But he chooses us. As imperfect as we are chosen to be his missionaries and to spread his word. And so after that, after considering that and speaking with God, Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." So he changed his attitude. He changed his attitude from, I'm really too imperfect, to, "Here am I, send me." And there's something for us to learn there as well. That sending, by the way, can be to Africa, Russia, New Zealand, or dare I say, to even Oklahoma. And thankfully, we don't have to be perfect. We can be sent on God's mission to those in pain, those with grief, to those who are hungry physically and spiritually, to those who are just as imperfect as we are. By not asking what someone might give us in return, but how can I humbly show Christ by reaching out, caring, giving, and then turn my own spark of rebellion, resentment, and sometimes even retaliation that rises up in my brain, my mouth, and my heart into humility and recognition of my own failings and my own sin, so that we can see everyone each day as our neighbor and in need of God. Let's go back for just a moment to my own spark of rebellion. What do you mean by that, Beth, your own spark of rebellion? Well, I think that we kind of tend to say to God, I really don't want to go over there. I want to go over here, if that's okay with you. Let's send me over here. So maybe we rebel a little bit about what he's trying to tell us to do, that we aren't always just on board immediately. Resentment can mean like, God, those people aren't exactly like me. I don't know they're going to accept me. I don't know they're going to like me. Let's go somewhere that's a little easier for me to be accepted, where I think I fit in better, and so maybe in where the people are more likely to listen. And so maybe there's a little resentment for those people that he wants to send us to. And then retaliation, I think that goes even a little deeper, to say that, you know, there's been, these people have hurt me, are my friends, are people I know, are people in the past that have gone there. And I don't really want them to know you that well. Have we ever thought those thoughts? I would rather do something besides that, because they just haven't been very good. And I would rather go to another location, perhaps. I think sometimes we just need to look at our own hearts and see what God is telling us is important to do, and what our preferences and our prejudice may need to fade as our God becomes larger. And you know, people come into our lives when it's inconvenient, and we don't want to give God or them room. We have things already planned. Swindoll says that Isaiah was swimming in his own tight radius, preoccupied with a limited view of his world. How often do we swim in our own tight radius? We don't really want to go outside that radius. We want to circle and circle right where we are, because we're very comfortable there. You know, maybe we need to consider, God is not an American. God is the creator of the universe. God is a creator of all peoples. God is not limited. He is limitless. And we need to understand that as best we can and try to imitate him, to be a conduit for him. Maybe God, as I said, is not an American, but I think he probably does speak with an oaky twang, but then that's just me. And our personal preferences and prejudice will fade, as I mentioned before, as our God becomes larger. And so anyway, I think that is our own personal preferences and our own prejudices and our own sense of rebellion, as that fades, our God becomes larger. His world becomes larger. Our world becomes larger. We see that He is the creator of the universe and that we are in that universe and part of His creation. And I've got some more to say about that. I bet you think, yeah, I bet you do. And now I'm going to get into what I think is a little closer to that which I find more compelling for me. I believe that with God's guidance and grace, we are missionaries every day. Every day. Every day that we live. And just as God had plans for Isaiah, He had plans for Charles Swindoll that wrote the book, He has plans daily for us if we look for those opportunities. One of my very favorite verses, and here we go again. I'm going to change again. And yeah, there it is. I love this verse. And they probably, in women's Bible class, it's like everything that comes up, I'll tie this verse into it some way. And they're like, okay, we know that verse now. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I mean, how empowering is that? As the song says, while we were a dream of dim conception, before we were here, God created good works for us to do. I mean, it's like, you did that? Every day I'm supposed to find good works to do? I think they're there. I think God created good works for us to do. He prepared them in advance. We've got to look. We've got to be observant. We have to find those. And sometimes we have to do what we don't want to do, our kind of don't want to do. Again, I'm speaking to me, okay? Because I know how I feel on occasion. And how humbling is that, though? The works have already been prepared. This girl's is our mission. As President Kennedy said, and I'm not trying to compare past presidents speaking to verses in the Bible, but President Kennedy said, let us go forth asking His blessing, His help, but knowing that on earth, God's work must truly be our own. And He goes on to say, as He speaks in His inaugural address, that we are God's hands and His feet on this earth. And I think sometimes I forget that. I'm expecting some big revelation and God to come down and strike lightning and make. We are God's hands and feet. We are His emissaries. We are who He works through. And that just to me is unimaginable. But then Paul again goes on to say in Philippians 2:13, we were set in motion by God to achieve greatness and to glorify Him. I think, and if we put these two verses together, I know they're in separate books, but I think they tie together. If God prepared good works in advance for us to do, they're there, all we have to do is find them. God prepared them, we have to look. He set us in motion to find those good works that He has prepared for us to do, because we are His hands and feet. And we are to achieve selfless greatness. It doesn't say greatness, it modifies it and says selfless greatness. That's not the same as our greatness, it's God's greatness, that we seek that to glorify Him. And that is our mission. That is what mission is about. That's what we do. We achieve greatness, selfless greatness. Oh, the selfless isn't in there. That the Bible says selfless greatness. You'll have to trust me. Oh, wow, I just saw that. Anyway, God tells us the truth. The only truth in this world of hegemony, white lies, half-truths, little fibs, and sometimes huge, huge untruths. But He does it with such gentleness, and He quiets our anxieties that we think we can't do these things. He quiets those anxieties and helps us to realize
that he is in charge, and his voice calms our fears as we look for the good works that he has prepared for us to do. The go cannot be taken out of the gospel, and I'm not trying to take the go out. Do we need to go? Absolutely. But I say that the go can be to our neighbors. The go can be under the bridges in Oklahoma City. The go can be to the crisis here or around the world. It doesn't have to always be around the world. God told Isaiah, and I think sometimes we think, oh, I can't do that because people aren't going to want me to do that. They're not going to want me to be intrusive. God told Isaiah that he would be met by insensitive people, dull ears, dim eyes, and hard hearts. So discouragement and rejection can't be discouraging. Discouragement and rejection can't be discouraging, and I'm really not contradicting myself. It cannot dominate, deter, or terminate the effort that we need to give. It can't do it because it's not dependent on what people think or say. That effort is not dependent on what somebody else is going to say about us or do or think. Our motivation is from God and what he has done for us. We might for a moment think that mission everywhere, gee, that's going to make mission easy. Not necessarily. I would like to propose that it doesn't make it easy. It doesn't make it easy at all because we are then put into someone's life there where we think we may be intrusive. We have to step out of our safe zone. We have to step out of our comfort zone. And it's not necessarily easy to do that. If we go to a foreign field, we expect to step out. That's what we're going for, is to step out. We know we're going to stick out, okay? And that's okay because that's, we're prepared to do that. And I know the preparation's important and the going is hard to do, and I'm not downplaying that at all. But I'm just saying the stepping out here at home is hard too. Fact is, maybe sometimes harder because we are at home and we're comfortable and we feel uncomfortable getting in somebody else's business, so to speak. So anyway, I think that the time is now, the place is here, the opportunities are God-given. And what was that? We are his hands and feet. We are the ones that have to pursue this mission. We are the force through which God moves and works daily. And each day that he gives us is a gift to use for the good works. Well, you're going to say, you keep repeating that, I know. A good works that he has prepared for us to do. We cannot wait for some lofty, far away, long distance mission because we may just sit and wait forever. We can't wait for that because there are things that need to be done now, and the fields are ripe, the waiting deeds are abundant. And I've got, and the gift, I want to say something about the gift of each day. But the thing that we can give the most of sometimes is our time. That's the most valuable thing we have. It's not always our money. It's our time. We like to kind of save that and hold it for ourselves because we want our time. And a sermon I heard one evening that actually Jim Baird from over here at college gave was that we are not promised each day. Each day is not a promise. It's something that we're given as a gift from God. We don't have that promise to us. Nobody said, no, God didn't come down and say, well, I'm going to give you this many days. Not at all. We have to use the gift of time and the gift of that day to do his work. And sometimes I'd like for us to think about that God's mission may be different than our mission. And you're going to say, what are you talking about? Let me explain just a little bit. I think God's mission may be a little different than what our limited view says. Don't be locked in. Be observant. See what's there. And I have a few examples to tell you that's happened in my life, and all of you have examples as well. So none of these are new and, oh my goodness, that's a revelation. No. It's just something I think I need to think about on occasion. This happened, a couple of them. When I was younger, which actually I was at one time. And my oldest son was in junior high, and my youngest was in grade school, and I had volunteered to be the medical person at Kett Pettyjohn for the week. And so I said, okay, kid, boys, get in the car. I'll drive up there. We don't have to wait to go on the bus. We'll drive up there. And so we were headed to Kett Pettyjohn. We lived in Broken Arrow at the time. And we get, probably about halfway there, and we're on a rural road, and here's this old man. And I say old man. Boy, that is somewhat, I'm probably no older than I am now. We won't follow that to its logical conclusion. But anyway, at that time, he looked like an old man on the side of the road. And he was carrying a couple of sacks of groceries, and it was hot, and it was sunny, and he was walking down the road. And I pass him. And I think to myself, I've got my two boys in the car. And what am I doing here? What is my purpose here? So we get a few hundred miles down, turn around, come back. And he doesn't seem too scared to get in the car with a woman. I start saying old woman. I wasn't old then. A woman and two kids. And so he gets in, and I said, I asked him for it. Would you like for us to take you somewhere? He says, yeah. He says, I'm going up here. I said, where's your home? And we'll just go there. And so it was about a mile away. And so we took him up to his home. Didn't take that long. Turned around, came back, got back on the road, and went to Kett Pettyjohn, which was our mission. God's mission, I think, was the old man on the side of the road. I think that was God's mission. And I think that my kids learned more from going picking him up and taking him home than they learned from Kett Pettyjohn. Even though they did well at Kett Pettyjohn, it was a good week. But I think they learned more from that. And I think we have to look for the opportunities God gives us, because the opportunities are there. He tells us he's prepared in advance for us to do. So we got to do them. We need to do them. We need to look for them. Another one is blankets under the bridges. I mentioned that a little bit ago. My husband and I love to go to estate sales and garage sales. Yeah, probably too much, okay? But I buy blankets and hats and gloves and all this stuff. And then when it starts getting cooler, we go down under the bridges. And I have a friend that goes with me. Sally Shank has even been with me. And Steve's driving, and I'm over here. And then we have two people in the back seat, and we're passing out through the windows. We're not passing out, but we are passing things. And so we're handing these things out as we go along. And there's this lady over here. She's sitting over there, and she's going, we're like, my husband, we usually don't get out because it's quicker and faster and more efficient and sometimes not as could cause problems and so forth. We stay in the car. Roll the windows down, stay in the car. But she's waving her hand, so Steve gets out, and my husband gets out and goes over there and gives her, she says, I need a blanket. So, we take her blanket. And he says, you don't look like you're getting around too well. I said, is there anything else you need? She said, well, I just got out of the hospital. I've got a broken leg, and I can't get up. And we're like, oh, okay. Well, when I go to estate sales, I also buy all their medical equipment and all this other stuff, and it's all in my garage, which you can come look and say, oh, my goodness, it is all in your garage. And so anyway, we buy those, send them to third world countries, here, there, and yon. But my husband said, I think we can do something about that. So we go home, get the crutches, bring them back, and she says, this is just wonderful. I can get up now and shouldn't have to sit on the ground anymore. And so anyway, my point again there is, I think God's mission was getting this lady a way to get up off the ground. My mission, I thought it was good, and there's nothing wrong with it, was to pass out these blankets I had. And we always take oranges, too. It's really fun. It's really fun. We have a great time. But anyway, and you know what? You can buy it. We usually get, during the period of time leading up to that, 100 to 200 blankets. So you'd be surprised how many blankets you can accrue quickly. More than my husband likes to have in our garage, let's put it that way. And then two other little instances I want. You can be on either end of this. One day I was at TJ Maxx's, which is my other favorite place. I was at TJ Maxx, and usually my cavalier way, I come in, drop my keys in the basket along with my purse over here. Well, I wasn't very careful, and some of the places I was going along, my keys slipped out. And they weren't in my basket anymore. So I'm getting ready to check out, and I'm like, oh, I don't have any keys. So who happens to be there? Jason Garner was there. Don't ask me what he was doing at TJ Maxx. You can ask him. But anyway, he was there, and he sees this old woman that I think he recognizes from church, and he goes, can I help you? And I'm like, yeah, I lost my keys somewhere in here, and I can't go home without them. And he starts looking. He starts looking around and helping me look. And eventually somebody turns them in and we find them, and I say, I'm all good. But my point in that is you can be on the receiving end of good deeds too. And sometimes it's hard to be on the receiving end. It's hard to accept that. So, and he was very gracious. So anyway, that is, you know, there's both sides to that. And I think God's mission, we are his hands and feet, and little things are what he put. Little things, which aren't so little to the people that are receiving. Him helping me look for my keys was a big thing to me at that time. It was a big thing. So anyway, one other story, and I know you guys know this one. Oh no, two other stories, okay. Was one day we were headed to church. We were coming here. We stopped, we looked, realized we didn't have much gas. So we pulled down to On Cue, started a little early, pulled to On Cue. And my husband, who's always really good, gets out. And he is gassing up, and he's not paying much attention to anything else but gassing up. Well, all I'm doing is my usual sit there and watch him gas up. And so I see this man going from car to car to car. He has a gas can in his hand, and he's saying, could you give me a gallon of gas? Could you give me a gallon of gas? I don't have any gas money. Give me a, and we were filling his, I mean, people were. And so Steve gets in the car, and I said, did you see that guy? He's like, no. I said, go fix it. And so he gets out, and he asks the man what's going on. He said, well, I'm moving my fam, and I have to get to work, and my fam, I can't get to where I need to take my family, and I don't have any gas money. And so Steve fills his car up, and he goes on his way, and he's happy. And I don't know. I mean, he could have made the story up. I don't know. It's not my problem whether he made it up or not. It's my problem if I respond to the need. It's not my problem what he does, what his, and, you know, at the time we thought that was truthful. I thought my mission was to get to church. I think our mission was to see that man could help his family. That was God's mission. And sometimes we can't complete our mission because we don't look for God's mission. We kind of let it go. And then one other story, this is the one I know you know, Good Samaritan, okay? The priest and the Levite go on the other side of the road. There's this man beaten up in a ditch. And they have a mission. They're on a mission fast. They've got to get over here. And I'm sure they've got something good to do. And they're headed on their way. They don't have time for this man in the ditch. And so they go on their way. And I'm not saying they didn't have a good mission they were going on. But here comes the Good Samaritan. He helps the man in the ditch. Christ is telling the crowd this that's gathered to hear him talk. That's not true. That's not true. Don't quote me on that. Christ is talking to the expert in the law, is what happens at that time. And he says, who is my neighbor? And Christ is explaining to him who his neighbor is by giving him this example. And then when he finishes, and so he says, he takes the man to the end, has his wounds bound up, and says, I'll come back and check on him later and pay whatever you need to pay. And but my point here is not all of that. That's all wonderful. But my point is, God tells the expert in the law who has asked him, who had hoped to trap him, and ask him, who is my neighbor? Christ tells him, this is your neighbor. Because he asks him, he says, who do you think the neighbor was? Who do you think the neighbor was? He says, the Samaritan who helped him. That's right. It wasn't the people who passed on the other side of the street. It was the Samaritan who helped him. And what does he say? Go ye and do likewise. Go ye and do likewise. He's prepared good works for us to do. And we are his hands and feet. Go ye and do likewise. You keep thinking these are all good places to stop. Not quite, but close. You know, and we do this because we want, why do we do these things? We do them to please the Father. We don't do them because we got a checklist out here. Oops, got up this morning, read a Bible verse, said a prayer, having breakfast. It's not a checklist. We do these things because Christ has loved us when we were unlovable, just as we are sent to love those that are unlovable. Sometimes. And so we then have to understand that our job, it's not a job. It's not even a duty. We do what we do out of love for the Father, not out of command and not out of duty. We do it out of love. Because motivation, why we do something, is what the Bible tells us over and over. Sometimes it's not what we do, even though the good deeds are still good deeds, but they're not counted for us, so to speak. And I hate to even say counted for us, but they're not counted for us if we do them out with the wrong motive. We have to do them out of love. Our mission is to live our lives to reflect God because of his love and not because of duty, because of his grace. And this is where I had originally put our song, Oh, to Be Like Thee, but we've already sung it, so we're not going to sing it again. Almost through. Actor Gabriel Byrne is quoted as saying, and you probably don't know who Gabriel Byrne, I didn't either until I saw this quote. One of the things I realize as I get older is that part of reconciling oneself to life is the acceptance that we lose everything. We lose parents, we lose friends, and eventually we get to the state where we lose ourselves. In the end, we're all losers. We just have to expect that. Ladies, that's our mission. That's our mission. Our mission is to know and to show how sad and how wrong that is. That's our mission. As the famous theologian Luke Skywalker once said, as the Force whispered in his ear as he was trying to destroy the Death Star. And you know, if Bethany can have General Akbar up as a video clip, I can talk about Luke Skywalker. Okay? But anyway, so he whispers in his ear, stay on target, stay on target. And that's how he destroys the Death Star. God says to us to stay on focus, to focus on what he tells us he's prepared for us to do. So I'm going to say, stay on mission, which is to do those good works that he has already prepared for us. For we are winners in Christ. We are not losers. We are not, and that's what's so sad about that quote, is there are people that believe they are losers. It is our mission to tell them they're not losers. They're not losers. Christ has died for us. We are winners. Stay on mission. Reflect God's light and love each day. We cannot and will never be perfect. So don't expect perfection. It won't happen. You can look at me and say, perfection ain't happening. But we can be his hands and feet. We cannot be perfect, but we can be his hands and feet. And one more thing, and then I promise I'm through. The other day I was reading an article just last week, and it came across one sentence that I said, I'm going to have to say this. I don't care if it has nothing to do with anything, but it has something to do with everything. It has to do with everything. It says, joy is the air Christians breathe. It's the air we breathe. I mean, how much more a part of us can that be? Joy is the air we breathe. And so, the song Connie's going to lead us in now, and you'll say, thank goodness she's through, is Ode to Joy, one of my very favorite songs. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, something for all of us to think about, something for all of us to challenge ourselves in, and just being aware, our hearts open, our eyes open, and looking for those things. And I appreciate that you ended up with a song of joy, because that's what all that brings. That's what all that brings. And so you've brought us a wonderful lesson, and we thank you, Beth. Did you like it? It was good. Yes, yes. Thank you, Beth. And you will want to be back next week. We're going to have another 10-year-old. No, she's a little older than 10. I know. But Carla Dobbs is going to be speaking with us on attitudes, choosing an attitude. That's kind of what you were talking about tonight a little bit. It's what we choose and what we choose to look for. And so thank you for the challenge. I know you're glad to be here tonight, and let's end with a prayer. Father, you are so good, and you do want us to be your hands and your feet. Gives us the eyes to see the need, and give us the insight and the heart by following through. We thank you, Father, that you have equipped us for everything that you ask us to do. We thank you that we have a community of sisters in Christ that can challenge us, and that we can work with, and that we can have community in. Help us, Father, to look within this community and gain support, but help us to look beyond this community, the community we live in, and to have a greater perspective on and enlarge our circle, Father, of doing good and doing your good works, Father, not for selfish reasons, but for your glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, Father. Amen.
And I'm supposed to ask if anybody has any questions. I don't know.
Any questions?
Any questions?
Yes.
You have a couple of minutes if you do. I didn't take quite my 2 hours.
Any questions? If you have any questions about her, yeah.
I thought of something.
Oh, wait.
I was thinking of that verse that I have to tell myself very often, do not grow weary of
Amen.
Doing good. So what do you do when you grow weary, Beth?
Everybody is different, I think, and how you respond to that is different. And I don't appreciate you asking me, but I think you have to do something you enjoy. I think you have to do something for God that you enjoy. And there are many things that we enjoy. Some enjoy singing. There's ways to praise God without necessarily going under the bridges. There's plenty of ways that we have to praise God and to serve others. So, and I think we do the things that we enjoy doing. I enjoy going to estate sales, so I can go get some more blankets.
Anyone else with anything?
Questions? So I'm wondering what things you look at estate sales. I know it would be terrible if you were so well supplied that you didn't have to go to estate sales. But I'm wondering, what are the things that you collect? Other people may have things that...
Oh, I would love to. Again, we take blankets, throws, hats, gloves, socks, anything you think is useful.
Walkers,
I mean,
walkers, wheelchairs.
I mean, we take... thank you. She just touched this. Someone brought me a Bible tonight. Probably thought I needed it. No. I'm joking, of course, had brought me a Bible, because we also ask the people under the bridges. We send a box to Africa full of Bibles, because we have some contacts there, and they don't have it very easy for them to get to. So we send that there. But I also take them under the bridges, and I ask the people, would you like a Bible? If I don't force them. If they say, no, really, we're good, that's fine. I give them a blanket and a Bible, or I don't give them a Bible. But I try to have them available. So, yeah, Bibles are something else that we will spread around.
I think maybe that sparked maybe some ideas that all of us have, because we all have different opportunities, things that you like to do, things you feel called to do, things that you have opportunities to do that maybe someone else does. So let that kind of ruminate in your mind a little bit and think about what you can do, because I think you've sparked some ideas.
And they have the material that they collect here to give away to the different women that are using them on sewing machines and so forth. So, and a lot of people have participated in that.
We do live with excess, don't we?
Yes.
We live with excess, and that excess can be put to good use. Yes. Yes. Any other questions or comments?
I was late, so I missed the introduction. Do you still work as an emergency room physician?
I do not. Did you say, do I still work?
Well, did you used to work as an emergency room
physician? I was an emergency room physician for 35 years. Yeah. But I don't do that anymore. I am retarded at this point. I still work down with Beverly on occasion, and I did wound care for 10 years, but I do. Some, but I don't do ER anymore, no.
Do you miss it?
I had enough adrenaline rushes to give me the fix for the rest of my life. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Do you miss it?
No, and yes. I mean, I miss the relationships I established at wound care. Really, the emergency room is, I don't miss as much because I don't like the adrenaline rushes and neither does my blood pressure.
Is
anymore.
There anything that you need to take because you're already doing it, like that it's hard for you to get, that people could get for you or buy for you to take?
No, just the things we mentioned, the blankets, all that kind of thing, I'm happy to take and distribute if you have them. But no, I mean, and the Bibles and we all, and the medical equipment and. But the medical equipment, they actually come down from Fort Smith Care, C-A-R-E. It's a Church of Christ relief agency that sends throughout. The last shipment they sent to Ukraine, a large shipment, they send all types of medical equipment everywhere in the world, to the third world countries primarily. But right now, we're to Ukraine, not that that's third world, but it's kind of turning into that, isn't it?
Okay, any other? Well, thank you again, ladies. It's been a wonderful day. And special thanks to you, Beth.
Well, thank you.